Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This is the Scummy Mummies podcast.
Hello and welcome to the Scummy Mummies podcast. It's me, Helen Thorne.
And it's me, Ellie Gibson.
And we're joined today by DJ Nikki Beatnik.
Hey, how are you?
Hey there, DJ.
Hey.
Is Nikki Beatnik your real name or is it your DJ
name?
Yeah,
it's totally my real name.
Is it? That's so lucky that you became a... Imagine if you become, like, I don't know, a butcher. Butcher Beatnik.
I'm vegetarian, so...
So, Nikki, you're an international DJ and you're the musical director for Khalees, is that right?
Well, yeah, I have been. We've been friends for over 20 years, so I've DJed for on and off for a long time. And then we've toured consistently together for about the last decade. And, yeah, she's my best friend, so we get to work together and... We've had a lot of fun over two decades.
I bet. What does one do when one is hanging out socially with Khalees? What's a typical activity? Say Saturday afternoon, do you go down the Bromley Glades, have a little poke
totally
around
would.
Top shop?
We go to Primark.
Excellent.
We go to the Secret Squirrel one in Lakeside. Because they always have the best stuff in there because it's not that fashion forward and it's really frigging clean and tidy and all the stuff are really polite and no one gives her any hassle, so we always go to the Lakeside one.
Do they recognise her?
People do, but Khalees and me have been to, like, all over the world, so we've travelled everywhere.
To all the Primarks in every continent.
Yeah, pretty much. We've done them all. And basically, she gets recognised in every country without fail, but it's just the way she handles it. Like, she's very normal, she's very down to earth. She'll look people right in the eye and go, "Hi, yeah, I'm Khalees, nice to meet you." And that's pretty much it.
Yeah. Is this handbag $2.99 or $3.99?
Yeah, once you've done that, and then they'll say, "Can I have a picture?" And if she's with her kids, she'll be like, "No, I'm with my kids." And most people are pretty normal.
That's great, yeah.
But if we're in a club situation, people turn into freaks and they'll, like, body check you out of the way and throw you across the floor to get a picture with her.
Yeah.
That's slightly different. But yeah, hanging out is, like, very normal because she's a very normal person. We've come from the same kind of era of music. We've known each other so long and we've got the same likes. We became friends because she was, like, hanging out at the club and I was playing her record before a lot of other people were really into it. And we met and she was like, "Hey, I like your shoes." And I'm like, "I like your bag." And then that was...
Is it from Primark? Yes, like, it is. I love
friends.
Primark. Oh, my God.
It was probably more like Chloe or like Stella McCartney or Chanel in those days. But yeah. It's very much... But nowadays, like, I just came back from LA and I was staying with her out there. And a Saturday would probably... She's a workout fanatic. So she's always trying to get me to go and climb a mountain or jump off a bridge or do a bungee jump or something absolutely deranged.
Exhausting.
And I'm like, "No, I'm going to drink Hennessy." And then...
That's a sport. That's a sport for me.
Yeah, come on, Khalees.
And then we would maybe, like, we both were, like, cooking and she's a qualified chef now. She's doing all that as her, like, career. So we might, like, whip up a brunch or something or go and, like, eat somewhere nice and
cheeky
do a bit
Nando's.
Of oh my God, she loves Nando.
Of course she does.
She's our people.
She's so upset when they wouldn't give her a black card. Because they gave one to frigging Dappy and like Chipmunk and they wouldn't give one to Khalees. And she was like, "I'm a chef. I travel all over the world cooking. Do you not think this was a good idea to give me a black card?"
I'm not Dappy. Like, seriously? Like, you should get a black card just for not being Dappy.
People had them and we were so, like, JLS had one. All right, cool, fine. Like, they were giving them to so many different
people. Not cool,
people.
Let's be honest. Not that cool.
No, I like them. They're nice boys.
They're lovely, but then,
But Khalees was
they're
like...
They're not Khalees!
"Please give me a black card." Like, she was... We had a dinner one time and her manager was there and we invited the manager invited a girl and Khalees cooked for everyone and then we came to find out she was the marketing person for Nando's.
Come
and
on.
She still wouldn't give us one.
Well.
I didn't even want one because I'm veggie, so I don't need her. But
refillable drinks, loved, though, Nikki.
I know.
Refillable drinks.
A Diet Coke for life.
Yeah.
Like, that's amazing.
Like a chalice that never
so,
empties.
So, yeah, Khaleesi loves Nando's. They're borderline obsessed with it.
Now, we talked about Khaleesi. You've also toured with All Saints and, like, heaps of other cool people. I read...
Nicola Roberts.
Nicola Roberts. Amazing. Yeah,
Off of the Girls Aloud.
Off of the Girls Aloud.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Love them. Big fans. Who's been your favourite person? I mean, apart from Khaleesi, obviously. Because, obviously, from LA to Lakeside Thurrock, you've been through a lot. Apart from that...
No one can come close to working with her because she's so friggin' interesting that she gets musical influences from all... eras, and she'll take risks, so she'll be willing to change a show 2 minutes before you go on stage. Most artists are not like that. Like, they'll have rehearsals, they'll have, we're doing this dance move at this 3:28, 3:29, we're going to go into this. Nothing would ever change. So it's very like, so as far as creativity, she's the most creative artist I've ever worked with. And then you get other people coming in, like, I've DJed a lot of parties for like cool people and celebrities like Ronnie Wood from Rolling Stones. Absolute sweetheart, like so down to earth, so nice, so like. And then you get like the American kind of J-Lo's and people like that, and Beyonce, where the security will stand around J-Lo and you can't go near her or look at her and stuff like that. That's, you know, that's,
you
like,
can you not look her in the eye? Can you look at her bottom? Is that allowed?
I think so. Yeah. I mean, it's fine, you can, but they keep them very separate in a separate area.
The buttocks. Yeah. The buttocks, you know, are, I mean, just kept separated at all times for maximum uplift.
But yeah, like Puffy, he's really fun to DJ for. I've done a bunch of parties for him. He's like, you know, crazy party animal. And then, yeah, there's everyone's different, and pretty much I work for myself, so no one really gives me shit. And if they do, I'll tell them where to go, because I'm quite a strong person. And sometimes you get people screaming at you, play this record now, play that record now. Like, and you just have to be like firm but polite, I would say.
So, I love now that you've got a range of t-shirts with just no requests on it.
Yeah.
Oh, I love
pretty much
this.
How
this
I
is a
feel
movement.
About life. Yeah.
Yeah. Hashtag
we
no
did
request.
It as a tongue-in-cheek for DJ. So we do a YouTube interview, like a DJ vlog with different DJs. Because I'm like a great lover of DJs and like the culture of DJing, because I've done it for 27 years now, since I was a kid. And so I just wanted to kind of do interviews on my YouTube channel to kind of celebrate the talents of DJs. So that's where the no request thing came from.
I have been known to go up to DJs when I'm very drunk and go, have you got any Venga Boys?
I don't even know what they...
Venga like. Boys are back in town.
No, I'm sorry.
The Venga bus is coming and everybody's jumping.
Oh, that one sounds
New
a little
York
familiar.
To San Francisco, the Intercity Disco. There's like a sailor and a cowboy and some
that
Dutch women.
YMCA, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's a similar vibe.
Sounds like Ace of Base as well, very much.
Oh,
no,
Ace
I'd
of
probably
Base.
Rather lick vomit from the pavement than play Venga Boys. Hand on heart.
Hand on heart.
Yeah.
But what
like, about Hand on Your Heart and Tell Me by Kylie Minogue?
No,
Kyle's, all right.
I do like her, though. I really like her. And Danny, they're really nice.
Now, we like to start off the podcast, even though we're halfway through, really, to have a bit of family chat. So can you tell us a bit about your family? Have you got children? Have you got
a
husband?
I've got one child called Harley, and he's 2.5, and he's a little bundle of energy, and he doesn't like
sleeping.
I
think we all know what you mean.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's averse to sleeping.
Yeah.
And I was on tour the whole time I was pregnant with him, and I was stood next to the drums.
Oh.
It was like me, DJ, drums, and then on a tour bus until I was like 6 months pregnant.
Mm.
And I was still flying around at 7 months pregnant, and I was still... So I was doing the Khaleesi tour, then I did like all my stuff as well, all my summer gigs. And then at the end of the summer, I was like 8 to 9 months pregnant, and I was still doing the All Saints tour. So I was on stage at GAY in Manchester, and they'd put my DJ booth on a riser, like a few feet up. Mm. And the tour manager was like, just hop up there and go and do your sound check. I went, at what part can I hop up there now? Like, 8 months pregnant. So I sort of basically put one leg up and my whole hip slipped out.
Oh.
While I was at sound check on stage, I had to get a wheelchair on the main stage.
Glam.
Of GMI to take
party time!
And they wheeled me through the backstage bit out into the main crowd of GAY, into the streets of Manchester to the St John's ambulance.
Sorry, it's not funny.
In full costume, like ready to go on stage. And in Manchester, they were like, okay, so we're going to take you to hospital and you might go into early labour. And I was like, no, I'm not having my child in Manchester. Mm. I'm due on stage in 10 minutes. I'm going back.
I'm from South East London.
Yeah, we don't play like that. So they turned me back around, pushed me back through the crowd, past the lady that won the Eurovision with the beard.
Oh, yes, Chiquita.
Who was so fabulous. Yeah, and I was so embarrassed. I was in a frigging wheelchair.
She did have a beard on, to be fair. We've all got difficult situations.
She looks amazing.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting in a wheelchair, like being pushed through the streets by St John's ambulance, back onto the stage, and then helped into my booth. And then that was like the point where I was like, maybe I need to stop DJing.
There's no business.
I've got a partner who I'm engaged to. I can't be bothered to sort out a wedding. So
it's
a lot of hassle because I've organised about 50,000 parties in my career and club nights and stuff, so the thought of organising a wedding makes me feel nauseous.
I mean, before you had children, you obviously have this amazing glamorous life. You're flying all over the world. Yeah. Like you were saying, you've been to like over 60 countries, hanging out with pop stars, going to Primark in Lakeside, living the dream.
All of the things, isn't it? Nando's.
Yeah.
It's like big pimping.
Were you prepared for how your life would change after you had a baby? Was it what you expected?
No, I thought I'd just roll along and like bring him to gigs and it would be the same, because that's what I saw Khalees doing.
Right.
And then I realised like DJs are not really the same as singers.
And my milkshake doesn't bring all the babies to the yard.
Yeah. Well, it kind of did before, but yeah, no, I'm not so sure. But yeah, no, but I realised like with DJs and sound checks and stuff, our world is very male dominated, always has been. It's not a bad thing because I've never really wanted to be called a female DJ or anything. But the reality is those male DJs have got wives at home looking after everything for them or their managers or, you know, and they're not taking their kid out on the road with them. Yeah, it's not always conducive to having children, being a woman and being a DJ, I don't think. It's not set up for that. And no one cares. Like, no one cares if you're a mum. No one cares if you've got, like, childcare issues or... You know what I mean? Like, it's just not really set up for that. Hence why I think all the really biggest DJs in the world are all guys.
Mm.
So, yeah.
You've got to change it, Nikki. You've got to change the system,
we're trying our best. But at the same time, you do want to be at home with your kids. So,
yeah.
You wouldn't want to just be like, all right, peace, I'm going to Ibiza. You know, you have to have, like, a bit of a sense of reality as well, that your life has changed and it's for the better in a lot of ways.
I think that's what I was quite surprised by how much I would want to be at home.
Yeah, me too.
And not be at work, because I love my job so much.
Yeah.
And I couldn't really imagine...
Nothing's better than being a mum.
Yeah, I didn't know that I would love it this much and want
even
to be at home
all the time. Even Lakeside Primark.
I mean...
Cannot compete.
You can take a baby there. You can take a baby there.
I have done. Yeah.
And is he... So what was his first concert then? I mean, I know when you started...
Oh, so, I wasn't in a good way because I had an emergency cesarean. And I couldn't really walk on my own, but I went back to doing press stuff because I had a record and a video that came out right as I had Harley and they wanted me to do press days and stuff. So after about 6 weeks, as soon as I could walk and drive, I was like, yeah, I'm going to do the press day. And I turned up and I was being videoed and stuff and I was like, oh, kill me now. Because, you know, like you haven't lost any baby weight and you're just like, you don't feel great. And yeah, I was in a bad way. Like I was like, anemic and stuff and not feeling great, and I had all these cameras in my face and I was like, just kill me. But I went back to DJing probably the week after that, so maybe I had 2 months off, but that was because it was forced on me. I thought I would go back straight away and just be back in the club, like
it's fine
back in my party, because I had a weekly party then as well, so I felt bad every week I wasn't at my own party and I had to send other people to do it, you know what I mean? I felt bad. And there was a lot of pressure because you're self-employed, so no one's looking after you. You don't have like a magical maternity period where they're paying your wages, you know what I mean? So, yeah, so I went back too soon probably. And then, yeah, I've just been kind of working ever since.
Yeah.
And well, your husband sort of works in creative field as well, so you kind of try and go, well, sorry, I've got to go hang out with Khalees, and then you can
it doesn't go down that well though.
No,
but yeah, like every I went to the Grammys last year and DJed, and this year I went for Grammy time again and did loads of Grammy parties and stuff and was DJing the whole time. But every time I say I'm doing that, you know, he wants to be cool. He wants to be like, yeah, I'm the cool partner. But they're not cool about it. You know they're not.
None of them are.
Leaving them with the child. And then he just calls his mum and basically she does everything. Mm. So, yeah.
I can't understand what that's like, Nikki.
I'm being very honest. He's never going to listen.
No, they never do.
No one does.
No. What's a Grammy party like? Is it like cheese and pineapple on sticks, but the sticks are gold? That sort of thing?
Kind of, yeah.
Is it? We've got to get in there.
No, they don't have pineapple, Nikki's monster munch rolled in cocaine. Yeah. I might like suggest that for next year because my friend's missing a trick with his parties, I think.
Cheese and pineapple. Everyone loves a cheese and pineapple.
People really like
they
it.
Do, yeah. They do. They yeah. do. Oh, my goodness. No, I don't do pineapple and cheese together.
Well,
I don't understand people that have it on pizzas. So I'm like, what kind of person?
Don't bring it up, Nikki.
It stresses me out so much.
Let me tell you something.
People that drink tea all the time.
That
hot
I can't.
Drinks, no.
That I can't.
I like cold drinks on hot men.
You're a freak.
I have a cold man and a lot of hot drinks.
She will go to Pizza Express, lovely extensive menu of Italian pizzas. Everything you can want. You can have a fried egg, you can have like rocket, yeah. You can have whatever you want. She'll go, have you got a Hawaiian? No.
No.
Because we're fucking Tuscan.
Yeah. That is not an Italian delicacy.
No, I have been told.
Yes. So let's get stuck into the DJ chat, yeah. Nikki. So how did this all start? Can you remember the moment where you thought, this is what I want to do with my life,
yeah,
I'm going to be
a DJ? Yeah. Well, not really my life because there wasn't a career path for DJs. And I don't think there still is, really. But I remember very distinctly being, like, from about 14, 15, going to nightclubs and parties, and it was like the end of the acid rave movement. It's still happening. So I knew guys that are a bit older that had cars, and there would be a convoy. So you would go to, you'd get a flyer or you'd be given a phone number. You'd go to a phone box, you'd call the number, and they'd say, meet at Scratchwood Services on the M1. You'd go to Scratchwood Services, and then there'd be
get a
convoy.
Ginster's buffet bar. Yeah.
Yeah, even before Ginster's, it was probably a sausage and beans in those days.
Pucker pie at best.
But yeah, then you'd get in this convoy and you'd all drive to like a location that only one person knew in the middle of a field, and there'd be an almighty massive... And because I lived in Hertfordshire at that time, it was like all the area for acid raves. And then Margaret Thatcher brought in that bill where you weren't allowed to have gatherings and kind of shut them down. But I remember going to a club called The Pig, where Roy the Roach...
Sounds lovely.
It was amazing. It was such a good club.
I love The Pig.
It was off...
Is it members
Pig's
only?
Place. Yes, and it's everyone around there was totally fabulous.
Yeah.
It was so cute. Trevor Nelson used to DJ there sometimes, but play like house and soul and stuff. And this guy called Roy the Roach, and he's actually a Facebook friend of mine now, but I never really told him that he had quite an influence. And I was like maybe 15 or 16, and I'd watch him and I'd be like, yeah, I'm going to do that. And I was literally like, I'm going to make it happen. And then after that, maybe a year after, I bought decks, and then I started mixing. Like, the guy that I bought the decks off was like, why are you buying decks? Because he could not understand why a girl, because there was no point,
really?
Would buy decks. I mean, he was like 88 or
why not
81.
Save your money for tampons?
Yeah,
what's wrong with
exactly.
you?
Exactly. It was that kind of thing. They were like, well, you're never going to, like, how do you know what to do? And my dad built me my first speakers, and I got a little made-to-fade mixer, which was this tiny little mixer for scratching. And I literally... had all my like old house records, and then my like De La Soul, Queen Latifah and stuff like that. And I just taught myself to DJ, and I was very like for about a year just in my house just teaching myself. And then the first gig I got was this club, which is still open to this day, Batchford Hall in St Albans. And I was just like, this guy that was DJing was like, you know every word to every song. I was like, that's because I'm a DJ. And he said, oh, do you want to DJ next week? And I was like, yes, I do. And that was it. And I was really stressed out and nervous. But I did it. And then from there, like when I was at university, I studied fine art and I kind of done fashion, and then I switched to fine art. And then I was like, this is kind of boring, but I'm going to put on my own parties. So I started putting
fuck
on
paintings,
these...
less parties.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. And it was like the movement of, so I went to art college just after Tracy Emin and all those kind of people. But a lot of my friends were at St. Martin's as well. So I'd come up every weekend and we'd go out to like Pushkar and all these friggin' amazing warehouse parties that used to happen in like early 90s time. And Boy George was like DJing, and Princess Julia was like one of the only female DJs that I really would see out And so there was hardly any women, hardly any at all. And it was very difficult to get taken seriously or even get a slot.
Did you have, because we, there's this famous thing in comedy, and Helen and I have actually had this, where Helen, when we were, quite early on when we were still doing solo stuff, Helen was on the bill on a Saturday night at this gig, which I'd done before, and I rang the bloke up and said, oh, can I, I'm coming anyway, can I just come on and do 5 minutes just to do some material? And he said, well, the thing is, Ellie, you know, with Helen, there's already a woman on the bill.
Oh, yeah. And I was like, that happened all the time.
And he said, oh, yeah, no, audiences don't like it if there's more than one woman. And I was have you asked them that individually?
Yeah. It's not so much like that in DJing now. There's loads of chicks doing it. There's lots of people from, like, the celebrity world and models, and everyone wants to DJ. I think it's been made so cool and they think it's easy money.
Mm.
So now there's tons more people doing it and more women. But I've never just been an advocate of just women doing it just for the sake of it. I'm like, if you're going to do it, be good. Mm. Be better than some of the guys. Like, why? You've got two hands and a brain. There's no reason why. Like, back in the day, I used to carry 60 kilograms of records a night on my own, two massive record boxes. So you had to be physically strong. You had to be dedicated and go record shopping every weekend. And it was like £10-15 per record.
Mm.
Now you can download or just take CDs out, or like laptop, Serato. So there's no physical reason why you shouldn't be as good. You just can't be bothered to practice. So I'm not an advocate for just women being there as token women at all. But people are still come up to me and go, oh, you're a girl. And they'll go to my little brother, who I taught to DJ at 11. Did you teach her? Did you teach her to do that? Because she's really good, isn't she? And I'm like, it's like, no, actually, she taught me. But yeah, that's just standard crap that goes on. Like,
fuck the patriarchy.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Yeah. Mm. So and you run your own club night, is that right?
Yeah, I've run lots of club nights over the years, from one that was really famous in London called 57 German Street around 2002 that Madonna used to come to, Leonardo DiCaprio.
Did you ever go to Primark with Madonna?
That's the dream, Ellie.
I really properly met her.
Marks and Spencers.
Oh, I think she might like a bit of M&S.
M&Co.
Yeah.
I can see Madonna and M&Co.
M&Co kids stuff, don't sleep on that, it's good.
You know they've shut it down.
I know, Forest Hill, but online is really good. I get loads of...
Don't sleep on M&Co. That's the motto of the podcast. Yeah. I love it.
We did a gig in the salubrious Saffron Walden last night, and they have a very strong branch of M&Co.
Yes.
I think we'll just base our next tour just on the M&Co branches.
Yeah,
we could do a collabo with you and Khalees. So just like go around the Primarks of
the
UK.
She would love that.
Yeah, let's do that.
That would be her favourite thing ever. If it was like a free Nando's at lunchtime as well.
We're going to make this happen.
She would do it.
And also, I saw on your Instagram, she was wearing a cat suit the other day. A purple cat suit. I was like, hang on, Khalees.
Oh, she's known for cat suits. She's got a whole wardrobe full of them.
Oh, damn it.
They're all
aged. Haven't we all, Nikki?
Oh, then my cat suit days are gone, I'm afraid.
What?
I always joke with her that she's like wears age 8 clothes because she's so tiny. I'm like, oh, you're getting your age 8 cat suit out again, are you?
I mean, we've got a whole stack of them. Maybe
Forget your book bag.
Yeah.
One of those.
What do you wear then? I know you were saying into fashion. So you're not going to don a cat suit anymore. Have you got your...
Oh, I would, but you know, like... when I get ready to go out and DJ, I'm usually like looking after Harney. He's screaming at me. He's like saying, ice cream, drink, like being demanding to
me. Oh, it's the nouns. That's it. The ranting of the nouns.
Drink, ice cream, raisins.
Yeah. Well, today, we're in a
telly.
We're in a restaurant at lunch today, waiting for like the lunch to arrive. Mm. And Joe just sat there going, salmon. I was like, I don't have any salmon. I'm in a
I need salmon in my handbag. As well. Yeah. Like, it takes me at least 15 minutes to make you something.
Yeah.
But he wants it right now. So, yeah, so like before I used to be, you know, we'd go and do a show for Roberta Cavalli or something and I'd take 2 hours to get, I'd have a plan of what I was going to wear. I'd wear a luxurious cape dress with a bow and some thigh-high boots. And now I'm like, I'm putting on some black jeans and a t-shirt and a red lip.
Yeah.
And it's happening.
That's fine. That's right.
And maybe a sparkly boot.
Yeah.
If I feel really extravagant.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Something that may or may not have snot on it.
Yeah, exactly.
And also ice cream. And
some yogurt or something. Yeah,
always a bit of yogurt. That's yeah. You always feel so party fresh with a bit of bodily fluids.
So, I have a wardrobe full of these amazing outfits that I might or might not wear again. But yeah. I'm like, God, I'm tired. I don't sleep.
I was touring tired
and doing 2 hours of sleep and then getting on a plane and then you only really have to worry about yourself.
Mm.
It's nothing compared to child tired.
No.
It's not the same thing.
No. You're not worrying that person's going to die. It's the frontal lobe thing going,
Are they fed?
Have they shat themselves?
You never properly sleep. Are they okay?
No, that's right. You get the eye twitch just thinking about them.
Yeah.
I mean, they're lovely. We love them.
But oh, yeah. It's the best thing
fucking
ever.
Fucking knackering.
But yeah, the fashion states definitely now I prefer a flat shoe.
So how would you sort of describe your sort of DJing style? Like, do you just follow your instincts or do you have a particular... Like, sort of frame it for the gig or the client?
Yeah,
or how do you
it's very
it
much about the gig. Like in June I did Alan Carr's 40th, so, and then the year before I did Leona's 30th, so just taking those two as examples, for instance.
Oh my god, yes.
Sorry, I'm having a quiet orgasm in the background.
But yeah, so Alan Carr's birthday, I kind of had an idea, you know, what they might like, what the age demographic would be. And then, so I'll make folders of music in my Serato. And then the Serato, which works with the decks, exactly as old-fashioned decks used to work. So you can have two pieces of vinyl and then you just put your needle on and put your mouse on the record and it will act exactly the same.
Great.
Oh, wow.
So you can literally DJ as an old-school DJ, but with new technology. You know, like, say you were going to do, like... I don't know, like L Style Awards, which I've done a bunch of times. I'll know fashion people were like quite cutting edge stuff, some cheese and then some like Destiny's Child, for instance. Mm. So I'll already know that. And then when you get there, you look at the crowd and you just judge what's going on. So it's just different. Like I'd play a different set in Shoreditch to what I would in West End. It's never hard and fast, but that's why you have to be an experienced DJ and you can't just stick to your set. I've seen DJs come like... with a couple of CDs and be like, this is my set. And I'm like, I don't understand that.
Mm.
Because every single group of people is going to be different. And I could draw a frigging Heaven 17 or a Duran Duran if I want to. I know those tunes. So if that's the kind of crowd, I'd be like, okay, I got you. I know exactly, you know what I mean?
Is it quite addictive though? Like when you're watching the crowd, you're going, oh, I know in like two tracks time, I'm gonna plant that.
I'm usually 10 records ahead.
Yeah.
So I find it really relaxing to
Ghostbusters
one.
Is coming out, you're losing. <Yeah. laughs>
Drop.
I'm not advanced.
Nobody is. I DJ'd at the Nix Awards, which is, and at the end of the night, all of them, they were all about 20, 22, 25, all of them wanted Spice Girls. And I was like, kill me now.
Oh, come on.
Is this my life?
Don't you like a little cheeky spice?
No, I don't.
A little sprinkling of spice.
Because
Nicole.
I'm the same age as them. And I was...
To become
no,
one.
No.
People in the world, shut up.
Basically.
Fuck up your life.
No, they used to come to my clubs. They're nice girls. They used to come to my parties. I met a couple of them through, you know, different people. And they're friends with All Saints and stuff. But music-wise, no, I do not like the Spice Girls. I have some
it's
integrity.
It's
an exclusive. Because that was going to be my next question. Like, is there someone
well,
you just...
I still
just,
played
you will
it
not...
for them.
You're not a cunt.
She's a pro.
I was literally like, fuck my life. Like, doing gun signs to my head in the DJ booth.
Oh, that made me do a wee.
And also, I've done a lot of celebrity weddings and like weddings of like... you know, just normal, average, everyday people that just want to have fun at their wedding. So I'm going to play exactly what they want to play.
Yeah.
It's their big day, do you know what I mean? So
Obviously, I'm hugely famous. If I said to you, I just want you to play the Going for Gold theme tune on repeat at my wedding for 3 hours.
I would strongly advise you against it. But I feel like...
The heat is on.
Okay, what's the fee?
The time is right.
What's a fee? You sound like Ellie. Ellie's like, yeah, what's a fee? Yeah.
Upwards of £50. That's all I can promise you.
I might say, yeah. I mean, it changes all the time. There's always someone out that I pretty much can't stand.
Mm.
But yeah.
How do you feel about the X Factor?
Oh, I don't mind it at all. Yeah, I think it's like serves a purpose, but at the same time, I mean, as much as the music industry's grown because of the internet and it's got a lot bigger and everyone can market their stuff, in a way it's shrunk, so only the artists that are getting lots of money pumped into them are doing really well, like the Ed Sheerans. And that X Factor's kind of like...
I love the Ed Sheerans, by the way.
Yeah, the Ed Sheerans are amazing. The latest song is so good.
All 19 of them. Ed and the Sheerans.
The public's made X Factor the monster it is. But then I watch The Voice and I really like it.
I've been
borderline obsessed with Tom Jones my whole life.
Yeah.
And one night I actually went out with him on a night. He came to one of my parties and then me and my manager at the time, he was like, should we go to China White? Like, this was like a decade or so.
Oh, China White.
Yeah, back in the day.
Back in the day.
So, but I was in the back of the limo with Tom Jones. And now I still think, was this something I made up in my head?
How was it? What was it like?
Because for the first time, like, I was actually like quite starstruck, and he's right. Like a silverback gorilla, like alpha male, which is right up my street. Yeah. I'm like, this is possibly the greatest man of all
time. Imagine him going at it with Paul Hollywood. Is that blowing your mind?
Paul's not for me. Tom all the way. I couldn't really speak to him.
Yeah.
So I was like, what'd you say? And he's just sitting there being Tom Jones.
Yeah.
Hello. Now I'd probably talk to him. I'd probably talk crap and stuff. But at the time I'd probably had a Hennessy. I was like, so what, it's Tom Jones? But, you know, playing it cool.
Yeah.
But now I'm like, why did you not speak to him? Like, you know
what
I mean?
You're just staring. You're just going.
No, I was like, hi, are you all right?
Yeah.
Just being cool.
Yeah.
Like, there's times where you need to stop being cool and be like, you're... Tom Jones, you're amazing.
Yeah, that's like the time we had a selfie with Mr. Tumble. We went, we're putting cool to bed.
But yeah, you should have been like, all right, Tom Jones.
That's what I
fancy
was
a
like,
trip
though.
To Lakeside tomorrow.
Oh yeah. My God, now
I'll shout
you
a spud you like.
Maybe a crazy corn.
Now we'll totally do that.
What's been the best gig you've ever done? Or has there been a gig where you've gone, I've made it, this is...
No, I never think that. I forget who I've met, because it's been so... And then someone will go, remember when we did that... Remember when we went to Atlanta and met T.I. and I was like, oh yeah, and Little John. And I was like, oh yeah, he still follows me on Instagram. I forgot about that. We've mates on Facebook. But yeah, just random things like that. And I completely forget because I've had 27 years of this, a lot of Hennessy in between. I'm only as good as my last gig. Do you know what I mean? So last month I was playing at the Grammys and now I'm at home being a mum. And then you feel like a failure again because you run your own company and you're like hustling for the next thing and the next thing and...
Have you got a favourite gig though? Is there one that sticks in your mind? That was a great night or a great time or, you know? I mean, this is it, isn't it?
This is it.
Apart from Lakeside,
yeah.
You should DJ Lakeside Saturday afternoon.
I used to DJ in H&M actually on Saturdays. They put me in the window of H&M because I used to do all their launches. So I did like the Lanvin and the Versace and all these different launches they did, and they put me right in the window. And sometimes in summer it was so hot, and I'd be DJing for hours. It was fun. But I remember once. Do you know Jonathan Ross's brother, Paul Ross?
Yeah, yeah.
I remember him walking past me once there, going, oh, it's so loud. Oh, it's so loud. Turn it down. Turn it down. You'd always get these old codgers and older people going, oh, why is the music so loud? You're playing this. And a lot of tourists as well, so they'd be shouting at you in Italian or something.
Thanks for your input, Paul Ross.
Thanks, Paul Ross.
Yes. Do you also right please keep telling that? Us what you think about films, because everyone really cares.
No one cares. I didn't even know he did that. I just thought he was Jonathan's annoying brother that doesn't like loud music. That's all I got from that. So, yeah. I mean, I've done stuff like, I've DJed at Omar Sharif's old villa in the mountains of Lanzarote for MTV. And like, I was DJing in a
cave.
That is
an excellent sentence.
Yes, yeah, right? Amazing. And Helen and I will literally never do that. We'll never be able to say that sentence.
That may be the best sentence ever said on this podcast, Nikki.
And then someone else reminded me today, I went to breakfast with a guy I've known that, like, he was a dancer and now produces amazing shows and stuff. And he was like, remember when you DJed in that amphitheatre in, where was it, in Turkey, in Bodrum? And I was like, no, I don't. So this stuff happens all the time. Or they'll put me on like... Oh, one time I DJed at the Mobos and had a fight with Dane Bowers. Bless Dane, we actually get on all right.
Bless Dane Bowers. Hashtag Bless Dane Bowers.
Oh, I'm dying. No, because the week after he came to my club and he was like, we're all right, aren't we, Nicky? And I was like, yeah. But it wasn't him. It was like his annoying, irritating friends that I knew and I didn't like. And basically they put...
Do you mean the rest of another level or is this...
No, they were really nice, especially Bob Back. Shout out to Bob Back. He was a nice... Yeah, no... They put us in this massive in the Truman Brewery. They had the after show in there, and they put us on this DJ booth. But it was 20 foot in the air platform. They'd built this huge platform, and we had to climb up a ladder, like one of those stainless steel
like Donkey
ones
Kong.
Up a Donkey Kong ladder with records in those days. We got up to the top, and I'd brought like maybe like 4 or 5. Of my friends with me, but they were all like big guys. And then we got up there, and then he had his entourage with him. So I was DJing, and then I realized like they'd taken my stuff out of my DJ bag, and they'd taken my needles, which were like £120 a pop. This was
bad. Share needles, everyone knows that.
Never share needles.
No,
it's bad news. And I was just like, this is not happening. I don't know what happened, but I had an argument with them. I was like, what the fuck are you doing? You don't do that. It's disrespectful. You would never do that to a guy. Like, what are you doing? And then it just all kicked off. So my mates that knew something was going on up there, because it was all kind of shaking. And
then you went...
And then they all started climbing up on the podium, and this thing was like man-made out of wood, and my friends were all like 6'4", 6'5", big old guys, and they were like, hang on a minute, this is not going down with Nicky like this. So they actually started like probably having a fight with his mates, and the whole booth was doing it. And the next day we were in the Sun newspaper. They were like, DJ Nicky and Dane Bowers had a fight at the Mobos. Or some crap.
Nicky, did you physically assault Dane Bowers?
I wish I had.
Me too.
I didn't. I didn't do anything, and we're cool. Dane's all right.
Hashtag Great Dane.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So yeah, but I mean, I forget all this stuff because I've had so many years of it.
Could forget Dane Bowers apart from the rest of the population of Britain? Oh
my god!
Well, that is. I feel like we've peaked. Shall we have a Scummy Mummy confession? Break it up a bit.
We should.
My story for this episode is, I don't know. You might have seen this on our Instagram. I came downstairs. Everyone, you know, sort of, he's like, look, and he'd. Written bum on a plaster and put it on the wall.
Is this wrong? I encourage my kids to do stuff like that.
You want to encourage that wacky artist.
I'm like, I don't like fitting in anywhere. Like, I don't feel the need to fit in. So I'm like, yeah, if you just want to be expressive and do your thing, as long as you don't draw on any of my shoes, it's cool.
Fair enough. I think that's good parenting.
Enough.
Nicky, do you have a Scummy Mummy confession?
Is it about me or about my kid? Because my kid and my dog are always sharing food. Always.
Let's go with that.
I grew up sharing food with dogs and living in farmland, so, and I'm all right. I don't have worms.
Were you a wolf? What are you talking about?
At our school, though, they did used to give us worming tablets. Because I grew up in the Highlands of Scotland, so we had to take worming tablets because all the kids used to do sheep dipping.
Oh.
So, yeah, they would give us worming tablets. But, like, because I grew up in the country, I'm like... It's not the worst thing if he shares his ice cream with the dog. Like, but I don't know. Like in London, probably people think that is really bad.
Yeah, they get a bit. I grew up in country Australia. Yeah. Because we were saying we went to a school with 10 kids. That's it.
10 maximum. When I left, there was like 2 children left. But yeah, there was like 10 kids from age 4 to 13. We all sat in the same classroom. And I remember back in the day, like I was thinking about this the other day. My teacher used to send me to the shop, which was... about half a mile away to get her cigarettes.
Awesome.
That's a Scummy Mummy confession right there. That's amazing. So your teacher got you to buy cigarettes.
Yeah, it was like the 70s.
Get me some bags.
Yeah.
How old were you at this point?
Probably 6 or 7.
I love the Scottish.
Yeah. I mean, it's very Scottish, oh, isn't it? It's surprising it wasn't a tenant's extra.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Yeah. No wonder they want independence. They want freedom for this kind of thing to be legal.
Yeah.
That's and right. Good luck to them. Wow. Yeah. I think we've sadly reached the end of the podcast.
I don't want it to end, Ellie. I just don't want it to end. I actually, before we end the podcast, I have to do a shout out to a listener. Regular listeners of the podcast will know my catchphrase is "not since university." Whenever I make reference to anything lesbotic, because I had a dalliance with a woman back then.
Basically, she had a little
you're
go.
You're only telling me this at the end, and you're dropping it in like a little tiny, you know, soupçon of information.
Anyway.
I feel like this should have been a whole section.
Yeah. So anyway, I used to be a lesbian.
Yeah, right. So that's a catchphrase. Anyway, so this podcast fan, Raquel, hello, met the woman I had not since university with.
And
it blew her mind. So hello to Raquel.
At least that was all it blew. Do you have something you'd like to say to her now? Do you have something like a memory of that time you'd like to, or just a, you know, a message?
No. Oh, okay.
All right. I think there's still a spark there. I think there's still a residual.
I had to double take.
You're lucky you can bloody remember university.
Yeah, that's true.
I can't even remember half the things that went on.
Well, maybe you were at it. Who knows?
Drank a lot of Mad Dog 2020 then.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
What's that?
Before Hennessy.
Well, you know, there you are. I like you've had a residual twinge there.
Yeah, no, you
a minge twinge.
Oh, well, that's it then for the podcast, Ellie.
That's it for the podcast. Thank you very much for listening. If you like our nonsense, please tell your friends and please buy our book, which is out now.
It is, Ellie. It's on Amazon and at great bookstores all around the country. And the people of Brighton, we're doing a big gig at Comedia on the 28th of June. So come to that and Camp Bestel and a few other festivals we're looking forward to.
So good.
It's awesome, isn't it? And the Hay Festival on the 2nd of June.
Oh, all of the festivals.
Yeah.
They're festing it right up.
Yeah.
Nikki, have you got anything you want to plug or where people can find out more about you or follow you or things?
Oh, right, yeah. At DJ Nikki Beatnik on all the socials. BeatnikTV.com on YouTube. That is our DJ vlog. So we do loads of tips for aspiring DJs. So yeah, there's a load of stuff up there. And then our website's got all our record releases on it. So that's beatniktv.com.
Nikki, DJ Nikki Beatnik, you've been an amazing guest. Thank you so much for coming on the podcast.
No problem.
Thank you very much.
No problem.
Until next time.
Bye-bye!
I was DJing at my party at 57 German Street and Leonardo DiCaprio came.
Of course he did.
He was just hanging out. He always used to come there and like Pharrell would be there and Khalees would be there and Missy Elliott would come and there was always someone. And so afterwards they were like, he's staying at the Metropolitan. Do you want to come for a party? And I was like, yeah, cool. Can I bring someone? They're like, yeah, cool, you know. And so my friends went beforehand and they were all in the hotel room partying. And I went with a guy. I don't even remember. I think he was like my mate, but he's a bouncer and blah, blah. So I took, and they were like, no, sorry. Only girls can come in. Leo only wants women in here. So basically they just invited hot girls to go to his hotel room for filth or whatever party. And so I went in and I was like, I said hi to my mates and that. And he was in the bathroom with two people I know that shall remain nameless.
Oh, but we know them.
Yeah.
Oh, was one of them Dame Bowers?
Yes. It was Dame Bowers.
And Omar Sharif.
Fats and Small. Ben from Fats. No, I love Ben from Fats and Small.
What's wrong with you?
Oh, no, I love him. He's married to Vanessa Felch.
I know,
She's the best woman of all time. Oh. I love Vanessa.
That's,
we love
you, Vanessa. Was my favourite record of that era. Me and my friend, we still do a dance to it.
It wasn't mine, but I really like Ben. Yeah, so basically they wouldn't let me in with the guy, so I said hi to my friends, high-fived, and I know some other things, but I can't mention on here that went down.
And I left,
and that was my Leo story.
We're now going to turn the tape recorder off. Tape recorder? Is it the 80s?
It's a Commodore 64. Yes.
We're now going to wind down the gramophone recording machine and hear the rest of that story.
Yes.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.